Hello and welcome to CGW Radio. That's right, I said it. CGW Radio. It's wow. April 23rd, 2008.
Oh man, you got it right this time.
I'm on a roll. I'm getting all the pertinent facts.
You don't need
the
constant.
I don't. Yeah. That young man's voice was one of our two very special guests this week. Along with the two regulars.
But not that kind of special.
I was going
not
to
short
joke.
Bus special.
Yeah. See, I was totally going to go there.
You were, right. But
there you
didn't.
There you go.
Maybe astute long-term one-up readers might actually already recognize those two voices. I don't know.
Crikey.
But we'll introduce them in a moment after the regular guests introduce themselves.
Ryan Scott.
And Sean Malloy.
And Sean Elliott is sick and on vacation, both.
A little of both.
What? He's like, come on, pick an excuse for why you're not here.
He's extra not here this time.
That's a terrible vacation.
He had a horrible flu yesterday and was debating whether to get on his red-eye flight, and that's the last I heard of him.
So either he's, maybe he's both.
So if there's a weird outbreak in the Eastern Seaboard, that's probably him.
Sean Elliott's fault.
Yeah.
You do kind of want to space out your excuses a little better. That wasn't very savvy of him.
No.
I'm sick. I'm on vacation.
The dog ate my review.
I'm both.
Hey, wait, so we were speculating incorrectly last time he was on vacation that he was in Hawaii.
Oh, right.
So
what was his friend's name?
He had Hans.
Hans. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
So where are Sean and Hans now?
Or
maybe Paris, Texas.
Yeah. I don't know where. Maybe that can be the next one-up contest. Where are Sean and Hans?
Sounds like some bad MySpace series.
Assuming he's going somewhere with Hans again.
Sending
Hans
your answer and you'll win a Yorkie bar.
Oh, I'm going to eat that.
Not for
it
girls.
It says it's not for girls.
I know.
Okay? You're the one person in the room who does not get to eat this.
And there is a no, like, person with purse logo
on it.
Oh,
that is true.
Yeah.
I do have a purse.
We are missing so much context right now.
Okay.
We are. We need to get back in context here. Right. Our two special guests, if you have not recognized their voices, our former CGW employees, which is why I said CGW Radio, for this week only, or not, I don't know.
Hey, we like leaving our
We
jobs.
Have actually a majority of of CGW people now. No, you were all on.
I was on CGW.
Yeah, your first issue, Sean, was
right before GFW started.
Did you have one issue of CGW?
It was maybe three.
You
did?
Yeah. Okay.
Because you were all veterans.
The Splinter Cell double agent one, I came in right at the end. Then we did Sam and Max.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Lowest Fortress. Selling cover of the year.
What the hell? Oh, poor Sam and Max.
I know. Can you believe that?
We should
be really
pro.
Supercell cover and everything.
I know.
And there was a Team Fortress cover.
So are you going to introduce us, or are you just going to
keep
us? Got halfway through.
Okay, former CGW employees, then OPM editors, and then the hammer came crashing down.
And we were asked to leave the building.
They paved the way for us. They set the trend in Ziff magazine closings.
Yeah, our condolences, by the way, because
thank you.
We understand what it's like to have a magazine close, although we lost our jobs, too.
True.
Yeah.
We only lost our dignity.
I was shown a street.
I'm just kidding. We have plenty of dignity here. Still.
Yeah, right.
Well, they do. I never do. Anyway,
why not?
I'm still not getting to the point.
Right.
We have Terry Scooter Nguyen.
Howdy.
To my left, and Dana Jungaward to my right.
Hello.
Both now employees of GameTap.com.
Along with another former OPMer, Giancarlo Varanini.
Right. So those who have wondered, and we do get that question at 1UP.com every once in a while, what happened to the OPM gang? Three of them are at GameTap.com.
We are.
Indeed.
And we would have wanted Mr. Rabicki to come too, but he moved off to Ohio. So.
It's kind of cute the way you guys move from job to job together. You're like a
this
little
is the
little
third
possible.
Time. Third time Scooter and I have worked together.
Yeah, weird.
Really? Yeah. Where were you before Ziff?
No,
OPM. Now GameTap.
GameTap. But I beat you to GameTap. I can't. You know, I followed you to OPM.
Yeah.
And I came in after CGW. But yeah. Then
they both escaped my hellish reign of terror.
Boy, let me tell you, what a glad day that was.
Thanks. I felt the same way. We're not even remotely in control here. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, it's okay.
We're never in control.
So you guys work at GameTap.
We do.
A site that we have said many good things about here on this podcast because we are fans of the old games.
As are we.
But butter our sauce.
And new ones.
No, I'm letting a little bit of pimpage happen here because we are former workmates and people have wondered where you are. So, in fact, you guys are both writing
at the editorial part of GameTap.
We do have an editorial section.
And if my what I did a little research on it before, and if I have this correct, so any game that actually is on GameTap.com that you guys review, you automatically give a good review to, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, it's such an awesome review of Conflict Denied. I was getting a 3.
Yeah, maybe let's not go down these roads.
I'm just kidding. Complete editorial integrity, just like we had with Microsoft.
Yes.
Indeed.
Amen.
We do. We have a very great set of bosses who are interested in keeping us very honest. So, yeah, not hacks. Yeah, that's good.
So, right. So, if you have been missing these guys writing, you can go to GameTap.com and find Scooter and Dana and Giancarlo.
Voila.
Voila.
We are there.
Indeed.
Is that enough of a payoff?
Yeah, that's
for
getting
you guys to come
that's
out
good.
Here?
That and the $20 for parking, and I'll be set to go.
Was it really?
I'm joking. Yeah, no, it's fine.
While we're doing business here, I got to thank, I'm drinking coffee out of a, isn't this coffee cup awesome?
It is yes. pretty spectacular.
It's a 97.5 The Brodeo cup.
Yo-yo.
It says, yeah, there's a computer saying yo-yo, and he's wearing headphones. And this was sent to me from Martin Bayer. I hope I got your last name right. He's Zater on the NeoGAF forums, and he sent me a note that says, "For Jeff Green, sorry to hear about the magazine closing down. I never was able to read it because I am from Germany." We got that a lot. "Never read your magazine, but sorry it's gone." Yeah. "Always read it for free, but sorry it's gone."
Well, that explains why it's gone.
Yeah.
It?
Wow. But I love the podcast. So to cheer you up a little, a little gift for you, I hope it turned out well. And it did turn out well. It's an excellent cup. So thank you, Martin. And also, just right before we came down here, we got a big bag of candy sent to us, two big bags of candy. I only brought down one. From David Gowans, also at NeoGAF. We have fans at that forum. A huge bag of candy from Switzerland. I'm laughing because this thing keeps like emanating bags of white
Swithrax, man.
Dust. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We're all gonna.
It's a bag full of anthrax from Switzerland.
All of these candies are coated in a fine layer of silt.
Yeah. Which has not stopped us from opening.
Yeah, Ryan Scott. Ryan Scott for the Maynard sports mixture, which is apparently gummy sports instruments like your gummy wiffle bat, your gummy racket, your gummy old-time car.
How many of these did you
eat? Get energized for your tennis match.
Like 50?
Yeah.
So if Ryan's not on next week, you'll know why.
One is also a Yorkie candy bar, which says on it, it's not for girls.
It's not for girls. Not underlined.
A Yorkie has a no person with purse symbol, which is odd because instead of using a skirt as a...
True.
Well, there's a skirt and a purse.
Oh, there's a skirt and a purse. Okay, so it's not women and men with man purses.
Well, could be women and men with man purses, too. There are men who wear skirts.
We do not know Yorkie's agenda.
True.
Yeah.
It could be a Scottish fellow in a kilt with a man purse.
Exactly.
Where are these from? Like, what...
The address is from
clearly not the U.S.
I believe this is a result of a thread where folks were talking about candy from other countries, and this is
maybe just a mixture.
Net result, but it is in fact coated in asbestos.
Clouds of anthrax
or anthrax. Yeah, we're laughing now, but they're going to be sweeping our bodies.
Maybe the last couple hours.
UK is the first phone number on here.
I mean, it reminds me.
It's a copyright of 2005 too, so maybe it is the age.
This one contains five.
I used to work with this guy from New Zealand, Logan.
Oh, yeah, Logan.
And he would come back from New Zealand with this bizarre, like, potato chips, like lamb and, like, weird Marmite-flavored chips. I'm like, what?
Yeah, they're pretty,
lamb potato chips?
Yeah. Like, the hell?
Ick.
The barbecued shrimp ones.
So
there's all sorts of
them. So Ryan is the guinea pig here.
So
as
Ryan,
usual.
Each tube contains nil saturates.
You don't need to worry if you're worried about your saturate consumption.
Yeah.
There are nil.
So thank you to everybody for all the lovely gifts. And also there's still been a lot of nice emails and stuff coming in about the closing of the mag. So thanks for that. We appreciate it.
What are you laughing about, Scoot?
Sorry, I saw one of the I'm looking at the back of Ryan's sports mixture candy. One of the flavors is Midget Gems. Which totally sounds like something different in a different context. But apparently, it's also candy.
That sounds like a horrible euphemism for something I don't want to think
about.
Yeah. Walk away from that.
Come eat your Midget Gems.
Do we have wine pastilles, too. Wine candy.
All right, I think Jeff's trying to get something on track.
Well, I'm just trying to see if we have any agenda here today. Or we just said, come on down. Yep. We had Elliot Chin last week, so this is sort of like the parade of ex-CGW people.
Reminiscing.
Yeah, and we said, come into the big city, revisit our old stomping grounds. Mm-hmm. Why, yes, please.
I showed you your old desk. You could have just sat down and kept working.
I think mine is still Garnet's office, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I think. He still has my Christopher Walken face on the door.
I noticed that.
That was yours?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. So one interesting fact about Terry Scooter Nguyen. You are now, how old are you now?
28.
And how old were you on your first day at Computer Gaming World?
I had turned 17. I actually started, my internship started a month after you had started working there, actually.
True.
Because you started, what, May 96? I went there like the summer of 96, like June-ish.
Yep.
And you had some like crazy remark about how the first day I sat in some staff meeting and your ear was all cut up for some weird reason. You're like, I'm in my Van Gogh phase. That's like how you greeted me.
Like, really?
Yes. Because I remember your ear was all bandaged up and you're just like, yeah, I'm in my Van Gogh phase.
I don't remember that at all. I cut my ear?
Again, I never got the real story from you. That's what you told me.
Okay.
And then either you or Elliot told me, like, I don't know, go arrange some boxes or something.
Yeah, you were definitely, we had you schlepping shit around all the time.
Well, he was an intern who at least did what he was told.
That's true. We had interns in the future who did not do what they were told.
Ryan.
What
the hell?
But Scooter did. Yeah, it was like just this kid around, hanging around, causing trouble.
Interrupting your might and magic turns.
Yeah.
You gotta move your elf over there.
Yeah, you did actually. You did a lot of backseat gaming too, because you didn't really have like a place to sit. I remember too, so you were always around me and Elliot.
Either that or take the desk of someone who just happened to not be there that day. It was like my desk for the day,
right? So you were there in the glory days of like 15 people on the staff. You remember
15 people?
That I'm actually not exaggerating.
No, there was a lot. I mean, there was like three or four art people also, and there's a lot of gaming and editorial talk.
You needed a lot of art people to make those crazy flames that ran across the 40-page graphics card features.
A lot of
Are you mocking us?
No.
And the editor-in-chief had an assistant. That's the thing that gets
That's
to me
crazy.
The most.
Yeah.
Who's now like the director of like Sony PR in Europe or something like that.
Yep, Charlotte Panther. Wonderful person. But yeah, Johnny Wilson at the time had an assistant who expenses and even answered the phone. For him. It's crazy.
Wow.
And I was technically her assistant, Like, it was her, I was supposed to prioritize her stuff. As apparently in the Ziff intern, org chart, apparently, I was like tasked to her in particular.
Huh.
You know, she just said, like, ask, like, Jeff or Elliot what they need help with.
We didn't need help with shit. We never did anything. That was a great thing with 15 people on the staff.
Yeah.
Play Quake all day? Yeah. 11 other people to
why
do this
don't you
job.
Go see what Elliot's building.
So is
and
Ken,
then tell me.
Is that when Ken was the managing editor?
Yep.
Ken was managing editor.
I wonder he was so cranky at you guys all the time.
Well, I told the story in last week's podcast of when he busted Elliot and I for playing Might and Magic on Deadline. Yeah.
But, you know, that's kind of been a pattern of your employment at CGW is getting busted by your managing
editor. Excuse
editors.
Me. I play games for a living.
There are three former managing editors of yours sitting at this table right now.
That's true.
Yeah.
I could be crucified in this very room by angry
managing
editors.
Although I don't think anyone else took away his phone cord, his internet connection, and then taped him into his office to make him get something done.
I don't think I ever did anything as hardcore as that.
Yeah, and actually the great thing about that was you were not kidding.
No.
You were actually kind of genuinely
Well, part of it was
mad.
Because people always go into your office.
Yes.
Always. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to keep them out as much as I was trying to keep you in.
Right.
But then I know you surf online all the time.
I would usually send Jeff like a stupid link to like a lolcat picture. Be like, oh, hey, Jeff, you see that link I sent you? And you wanted me to stop doing that.
Yeah.
This was pre-lolcats, but yeah.
Yeah,
I'm just giving people like a
right.
A,
it was that kind
analogy.
Of thing. Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it probably would have been the friggin' like hamster dance that.
Yeah,
or something.
It might have been the hamster dance.
But right, yeah, I remember you storming in because I'm sure it was a greenspeak, right? That
I'm
I had
sure.
written. That's what it always is.
Yeah.
And
yeah, you managed to miss not only like. You turned in the greenspeak so late, it not only missed like the deadline for that month, but it missed the deadline for the next month too. Wow.
Yeah, she actually witnessed the one time when I lapped myself in lateness. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we would always, I would always say, you would promise me, you're like, no, I promise you it's going to be in tomorrow. And then I'd be like, if not, you owe me a bottle of scotch. And you'd be like, oh, it'll totally be in. And then you would never get it in. You owe me like 20 bottles
of
scotch.
I do. I owe you lots of scotch.
You do.
And then, ironically, the very last issue of GFW, I was going to turn it in. I swear. I know. It sounds so empty. I have three managing editors here who can
How
roll their eyes.
How many times did you hear that?
I swear. It was going to be in early.
I swear it's going to be in. Yeah.
This last sentence bugging
me. It was
me.
Mostly written. I'm saying with air quotes.
The only time you missed a deadline, quote unquote, was when you had pneumonia. So I guess you had a...
That's
a
true.
Pretty decent excuse.
That's
we had
the
to run
one time when
one.
I actually did not even make the deadline at all.
You
but
were
it was
very
pneumonia.
Sick. I saw you then because that was when I was unemployed.
Yep.
Thanks to Ziff no longer requiring my services. And so I actually came over to bring you food.
You brought me soup. I remember.
Because your wife and daughter were out of the country.
Yeah, they left the country when I got pneumonia. That was
well, no,
that was,
you
a,
smart
that was a loving touch.
With smart pneumonia.
Yes. Yeah, no, I'm kidding. They didn't
but yeah,
abandon
you were,
me.
You were very, very, very ill.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, you made a deadline today.
I did. I made my very first. I wrote my very first console review. Actually.
Oh crap!
Oh, my God.
It was a Wii review for Battle of the Bands, and I made the deadline. The deadline was today, and I turned it in.
So I think the internet will be good for you that way.
So all your PC stuff, all the stuff you write for your own magazine,
you're worried.
You cannot make a deadline to save your life.
I'll tell you.
But this is
common with writers, and I was actually going to bring this up to a serious point. And maybe you guys who have made the transition from print to online already at GameTap can confirm. And that's that. I mean, it's the age-old thing. You take the time allotted to you, right?
Yeah.
I used to work on a weekly magazine, and I never miss my deadline there because, well, for one, you couldn't because they would completely freaking kick your ass if you did.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Right. But also, it was too, with the weekly, and of course, the internet is much more, you know, it's not just daily, it's like hourly, but the weekly made it impossible to miss because it would just pile on so fast that you would just be screwed for forever. So you had to stay on deadline. I mean, don't you find that working online, like you see
Scoot
a demo and then
week,
you have to go write something up right
Scoot
there,
last
right?
Week wrote, I mean, you were, how many previews did you, because we did the Namco thing, like, so Scoot and I went to the Namco event and I wrote
Midway
up
one.
Three articles from that, like, the next day, and you wrote up three as well, right?
Yeah, like an RPG and something.
And then you went off to Midway the day after that and then turned in all three pieces from, like, you saw
on that same
the night,
day?
Like, the next morning, like, at 9, when
right.
I got up and I logged on, and Scooter had turned in all three of his...
That see, was, now, I mentored Scooter in procrastination.
That well, was, I know that. I used to have to deal with both of you.
Yeah,
but
that was
now,
right now, like, you
it's
know, 2 hours
you.
Of sleep and me, like, eating Fatburger at 4 and 1, be like, oh,
well,
I got to write about games. Here you go,
well.
Kids.
I appreciated it.
But I love the running man.
But if this had been for OPM or CGW, would you have...
No, I wouldn't.
They'd still not be written.
Oh, no.
That would have been written. I would have drank more and then eat more Fatburger.
Yeah.
Yeah, you let that window of, like, immediacy slip by, and then it's a week later.
Well, yeah, we went to another event, like, a week. Where? When was that? It was, like, a week and a half ago, and the embargo is this Friday, and we still haven't written any of the things yet. I just started, like, putting my notes onto the computer this morning.
I did a brief stint at GameSpar after I got laid off, and GDC last year was actually my eye-opener for online versus print, because at OPM and CW, like, oh, yeah, I went to GC. Yeah, I can think about stories. I can, you know, maybe do a follow-up email and be like, oh, yeah, I got to write that, don't I? And then get up by the deadline that's, like, about 2.5 weeks later. GC was, like, the first time I'm like, man, I got to stay up till, like, 3 more and write the stupid-ass story because I got to get it done now.
Yep.
I think this is our future, Sean.
Rude.
E3 is what I'm stressed about because we were both employed by GameTap, but we weren't live yet at E3 this last year.
So we didn't launch for
another month.
Yeah, we were the online with like the print schedule at E3. We just went to meet and just sat there and we're like, yeah, I like games.
Yep. Yeah, sure,
okay,
this looks great.
All right, later.
Where's the party?
Cool. Can I have a bottle of water?
Yeah. We've all started to kind of get a taste of the E3
Yeah, we grind. Have.
We have. Yeah. Yes.
Same with GDC.
But the, like, the fact is, even in the
printed.
Yeah. But even in the print-only days, E3 was always hectic and a bitch.
Well, it was hectic as far as appointments went, but then you didn't have to worry about going back that
night. It was
night
hectic with appointments and
out.
That you got screwed when it actually came deadline time because you realized all those routes have been putting off now are due now.
Yeah.
So basically, E3 for a print person, I think at the time for me, was like a delayed, oh shit, I'm screwed effect because online I'm like, oh, I got to write this like tonight after I see it. E3 are like, oh yeah, I won't worry about it for 2 weeks. I won't write anything for 2 weeks. And then when you guys come like, oh, it's deadline, I'm like, oh crap, I got 3 previews
already. And you would do that at OPM all the time because he was Scoot was the previews editor and ended up, like, I mean, everyone would write everything, but as a result, you would end up writing a lot of the previews and I'd be like, it'd be like the Friday before and we'd be shipping Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and I'm like, all right, Scoot, and then you would just like, it's like they'd all been percolating in your head and then suddenly you would just go and they would all be there. Like,
and they'd be really good too.
My initial E3 experience was totally hectic and it was at a print magazine, but I was at GamePro. But E3 happened to fall like right on our shipping days, so we would pre-lay everything out, and then we'd have to like,
oh god,
figure out an E3 feature like instantly. So
that's horrible.
Yeah, those were rough.
That was your first E3.
It was like the first three E3s. It always happened that way. I don't know if it was on purpose. I wasn't like privy to the production schedule or anything like that back then. So I don't know. Maybe it was like. They decided to do that on purpose to like be super timely.
Can you hear that?
We had something like that.
Yes,
the
we hear
issue,
you chewing.
The issue that you where you started that Splinter Cell issue.
Mm-hmm.
I remember having to like, well, the cover story had to be to art like the day before. Like I got on my plane to E3 because it had to like ship.
Oh, like, I remember that.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I was like the last one left, like specifically to edit the cover story.
Right.
But it was one of those crazy timing things.
That's a long time.
E3.
I mean, you know, they have these pre-E3 events kind of to help you get some of it out of the way.
They started to do pre-E3 events.
Have they really?
They've flattened themselves with events.
The last week was basically like pre-E3, and now you're going to have your pre-E3 events in the middle of May with
like the second. I moved my mic down so you wouldn't hear me chewing, but then you couldn't hear me talking. Like the second week in May, it's like in 3 days, there are 5 companies doing pre-E3 things. And I don't, like, we're checking now to see if they have embargoes. So they're at least spaced out when you can write them up. But the first one, they're like, nope, no embargo. We're like,
I fucking hate pre-E3. And I just say it.
Yeah,
I hate it.
Can.
Yeah.
I don't know why and how it started. I think EA was the first one to do it. They would have like their EA day.
They'd have like
right?
EA. And
they'd be like, you don't have time
Camp
to see
EA.
All of our games at E3, so you can come see all at once beforehand. And you have time to enjoy yourself at E3.
Yeah, time to enjoy yourself when you have to run off to this next event an hour later and see all of their
that
games
now,
too.
But the theory would be that, they have you as a captive audience for the whole day. You can see everything that you would totally not even...
Yeah.
Have a second look at E3 itself.
So. Right.
Yeah.
Which is why they often don't even try to, like, if you go to an EA pre-E3 event, they might not have, like, the spores and stuff because they know that you will take a look at that.
But they'll have the cudgel Xanthor at
yes. Yeah.
I would, EA Spring Break.
I would spend all day with cudgel Xanthor.
Somebody in the...
what's his face who likes his cheese?
Oh,
I don't even remember the name of that.
Remember, it was Brack.
I loved that
Brack Studios.
Yeah.
Which actually was... what language was I using? Was it Swedish?
Swedish, Finnish? Or?
Yeah, I used a Swedish English dictionary, and that actually meant vomit. nobody actually bothered to see if those words
people
were.
Thought the preview was real.
Yeah,
so.
Some people
I know.
Thought, yeah.
That was the both beautiful and scary things.
I did notice there's a thread on Quarter to Three where people were talking about, are we going to rename this podcast? And some, I don't know if you saw the Scooter, but somebody suggested Radio Free Xanthor, which made me happy.
I like that.
So, yeah, I like that too.
GFW is not the catchiest of acronyms. So
it's not, but that's kind of what we're known as now.
Yeah.
Kind of like
that or
Craigslist
listing.
Huh?
I was saying GFW, I think either you guys are like a bizarre Craigslist acronym.
Oh, like looking, what?
Yeah, what would
like,
that mean?
Yeah.
Whatever.
I don't know.
Dude, it's Craigslist, whatever you want it to mean.
I guess. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's who we
Anything
are for
that
now.
I've already made my one offensive comment of the podcast.
Yeah.
Which,
for the decade.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah. That's okay.
Yeah.
Racist. Scooter, I wanted you to share one other thing, which was the origin story of your name.
Scooter. Yeah.
Not everybody in the industry knows that.
Well, I don't think I know this either.
See? This is a man who's been in the gaming industry for over 10 years now and is known by most people just by that acronym.
It's not an acronym.
I mean, not acronym. Nickname.
That'd be cool if it was an acronym.
I need a little more of my Brodio coffee. It stands for stupid manimer.
Well, yeah.
Go on. Oh, it's going to get bad.
Stop.
Okay.
I just have a really difficult name to pronounce because I have like a French and Vietnamese name, and high school is not very fun, being like Thierry Nguyen a lot of times. So Johnny and TC and I think Ken and Dave at the editors of the time were like, yeah, this isn't going to work. I don't know what to call you. And also, because TC...
I love it that they couldn't just be bothered to figure out how to say your name.
Also, what the hell do we call this guy?
Harry.
Some of it was... Even though,
and one of them even had the same damn first name. Them,
yeah, right.
Even though we already called Terry Coleman TC, it's like, we can't have two Terrys on staff. Because, you know, it was like, well, what were we already called by other thing?
And also, so, you were a kid, you know.
I was a kid, and I was like, I guess, and she was an intern. And part of it was, I guess, the name... I heard conflicted things. Like Dave says, it came from the fact that I zipped around the office like as though I was on a scooter. Johnny,
that's a retcon. I don't think so.
I think either Johnny TC said it was because Scooter was the intern to Kermit on the Muppet Show.
Oh,
he was.
And that I looked like him because I had the glasses and like the non-white complexion at the.
Yes, it was quite a novelty at the time.
Wow,
yeah.
Crazy.
Okay.
Yeah. His skin is.
Those are the two verses.
We have a minority on staff.
Those are the two verses I heard, and that they just used it to say it as a shorthand to refer to me. And like someone's on a conference, like Johnny and TC were on a conference call, some PR person, and they heard him say like, "Hey, screw it, go get this copy of the game." They're like, "Oh, who's that?" It's like, "Oh, that's our intern." And it's like, "Oh, that's much easier to say his actual name." So that's how like I leaked out to everyone, just saying my name was Scooter.
See, and you were smart enough to just go with the flow and accept Scooter because there were interns after that who complained about their
one
nicknames
in particular,
and then received much worse nicknames as a result.
Right, a later intern was because then it became kind of a tradition.
Yeah,
because Ryan was Animal for a while.
That's right.
Yeah, that one never stuck too well.
It didn't, but it was one of the better ones.
It was. Animal was good.
But, we did have an intern that was, we decided was Junior. Mm-hmm. We started calling him Junior, and he objected to it in the kind of, "I really don't appreciate being called Junior." And Robert Coffey.
That's exactly how he talked.
Yeah, and Robert Coffey does not react well to that kind of thing. Said, "Oh, you don't like that? How about this?" And from then on, he was known as Chim Chim.
Named after these very same monkey that's going to be in Speed Racer.
Coming to theaters near you.
Yeah.
But so, Scooter, you got named that. There was actually a formal naming ceremony. Do you remember that?
Seriously?
Yeah, there was a meeting. Because that's what it was like in the Johnny Wilson days. We did.
Really?
We were having like an edit ceremony? Meeting, and he was great at like grandstanding. And
well, he's a minister.
He's a former minister.
I don't remember that one in particular, actually.
Oh, yeah. He got up there and was like, "And so we have a new intern upon us, and so he shall be named." Went on and on like that. And he called you. He said you were dubbed Scooter, and he gave you a beanie propeller hat that he put on your head.
Wow.
You know, I remember the hat, but I don't remember. I'm probably blocking it out. It's probably some weird.
Yeah.
an early childhood trauma.
Kind of well to block that out, yes.
And then when I started at CGW, you had just become a full-time employee because you just graduated from Cal like that May.
It was right after Jeff had just assumed because you became ESC in 01 and that's
yeah,
when
that's
I had,
right.
Yeah,
that's
and I came in school. In September 01.
Right. That's right.
Because I was managed by like I went through Johnny and George and you.
Yes, all the editor-in-chiefs left after dealing with you.
Wow.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Something about your early days. I don't remember.
Yeah. I just remember coming into that. Because I came in not from the gaming side at all. I was a magazine person.
You were one of the serious non-gaming
people. Put you guys into shape. And that first meeting, that first Monday morning meeting was like, petrifying. I was like, what have I done? What? What am I here? And all these acronyms that I've never heard before.
RPG,
I'm like, RPG.
FPS.
I was like, what? I don't know what's going on here. Why did I do this? And you're like, brrr. You were like, hyper, hyper. And then I have Tom Price and Will O'Neill and Jason Babbler.
It was a scary group
of fellas. Robert Coffey, Ken Brown.
In fact, job interview, I had to warn you because Dana was, she was on the 9th floor, which is where the Sirius Ziff magazines were. Dana worked at Smart Business.
No, I believe it was Ziff Davis Smart Business for the New Economy.
Oh, Ziff Davis Smart Business for the New Economy.
That was the name of the magazine?
Magazine.
They decided PC computing wasn't good enough.
So they changed it. Well, they wanted it to be Smart Business, but there was already a Smart Business magazine out there. So then they had to put the Ziff Davis in front, and then they added the For the New Economy tagline. So ZDSBFTNE.
Serious business.
Yeah.
Rolls off the tongue. Anyway.
Yeah. So anyway, so Dana came from there, and she came down to interview, and she was wearing her, like, nice business clothes. I had to warn...
And by that, you mean not jeans and a free T-shirt.
Yes, that is what I mean. Yeah. I had to warn the fellows a lady was coming down to the floor for a job interview.
Wow.
Please pull your pants up.
Yeah.
That was when my cube was right outside your door, right?
You were scared about hiring
me. Well, we had the job interview, and I had to... I think that was a big part of the interview. I was like, you know... It's a little unorthodox down here. Certain languages used. We're not that professional. I'm just saying. And you had the best possible answer, and it's actually why, because I interviewed a lot of people, and it's totally why you got the job.
And it is that I used to teach junior high.
Yep.
Perfect.
Sweet.
Yeah, yeah. So you know exactly what you're getting into.
Yeah.
Because that's about the mental and social level on this floor.
Pretty much.
Welcome.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it actually is scary over the years how much we completely, not just we, but I guess you yourself have completely geekified yourself.
Well, I was always a nerd. I just didn't know that much about
that
games.
Specific nerddom.
Now I know. Yeah. No, it terrifies me when I stop and think about how much stuff there is in my brain that was not there a mere 7 years ago.
It's not so mere.
Yeah.
It's a long time.
Yep. So there you go.
Yep. And now you're one of the, there's still not that many,
women
gaming journalist types. Kind
no,
of a shame.
I can think of... Three.
There's Fran, who runs
OXM.
Kristen.
Who's great. Kristen Salvatore, our former Emmy.
Jen Sal.
Jen Sal. And that's all I can think of.
Not that many.
Huh.
Well, I mean, I can think of a few. Yeah, I'm not even going to go down there. Anyone who else who writes about
since
games,
there's,
I can't
since
think
you
of
four are all smarter than us, you really should just, like, defect and form your own magazine.
And then we could call it girl with, like, no eyes and 27 R's.
Though I might not recommend the print magazine business at this juncture in time.
You think? We don't know that. Yeah, none of the magazines that I've worked at exist anymore.
Huh. Yeah. Go figure.
There you go.
Actually, yeah, I guess I could say that. The two magazines.
Oh, that was kind of funny, actually. After you guys shut down, Scooter totally put out a rumor that GameTap Edit was getting shut down. Because of your Facebook.
Because people...
What?
I said... All I said was, like, my first job is now shutting down. And people for some reason thought... at my game
time,
I was like...
your first job?
No, I worked at two other places before.
So then we actually ran into Garnet, like, the next day at a thing. And he was like, so you guys are losing your jobs? And we were like, no.
Stupid Facebook. So now I will stick to saying things like, Scooter's eating jelly beans right now. Scooter's going to play more Company of Heroes.
I love Facebook. So you guys are pretty sad. I mean, GameTap owned by Warner Brothers, right?
Owned by
Turner.
And Turner Sorry. Is a
Which
Warner
is
Brothers
company. Time Warner.
Yeah, Turner.
I see
Time
Warner.
Warner
I got
yeah,
Warner.
There you go.
Warner Brothers is all those movie people, and Entertainment Weekly is Time Inc. and all that stuff. But.
So you're not going anywhere.
It was pretty crazy because we are the only, like, almost all of Turner is in Atlanta, so we are the West Coast based. So we're, I mean, there's like eight of us in an office here, so yeah, we're tiny.
I mean, there are a couple of satellite CNN offices, but yeah, everything is all central to Atlanta.
But when we went to Atlanta, it was just like, okay, wow. I mean, there's a lot of...
The CNN Center, which is basically like a mall and an office put together, owned by the CNN building, and the Turner campus, which is five buildings that was built on like Ted Turner's old plantation that he bought.
Yeah.
And he just started to turn his house into like a...
He has a plantation?
Well, he bought
like 27 acres in the middle of downtown Atlanta.
I like thinking he actually had
someone
a...
someone may want to tell him.
Yeah.
Excuse me, Mr. Turner.
Uncle Ted.
We lost that war.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was pretty insane to go, the company that we work for, pretty darn big.
Actually, our company actually owns Casablanca. Or actually... Yeah. Turner is actually.
What do you mean? The city?
No, the movie. Yeah, that's awesome. No, we own that. No, but like, apparently the movie Casablanca is actually owned by Turner. And actually, that's part of the reason why Warner bought Turner at some point, was because of all the movie IPs
like
that we physically own.
10,000 movies. It was just something crazy.
There's like a vault. There's a vault at Atlanta that has like, yeah, like 10,000 original movies. Yeah, that
sounds like the X-Files.
Turner
like
owns.
Secret it's totally, vault of
yeah,
movies.
Like, or like the Raiders of the Lost Ark vault.
Alien bodies.
Yeah, and we were also warned when we started, we were warned very specifically about, which I remember when this happened with us, like about not taking anything, using anything that was a copyright issue because Time Warner super interested because they own more copyrights than anyone else in the world.
One of the biggest IP owners in the world.
So do you guys get like free cable or something, or
sadly,
what kind of perks do you get?
We get some, but I think it depends. I think those are more for actual in like if your thing says Time Warner on it kind of thing. I don't know. Yeah. I think it depends on the
if we're in Atlanta, right? Like a lot of the perks are associated with the location too.
Yeah, like apparently like we get a lot of free food at the CNN Center, and like we get discounts on all at the Cartoon Network stuff.
I get
apparently
a discount on my cell phone bill though.
That's nice.
Yeah,
because Time Warner
subscription to GameTap?
I get a free subscription to GameTap, yes.
Indeed.
But yeah, I mean, well, you know, Time Warner has 80,000 employees, something like that. So they're able to negotiate
pretty
discounts
good
for
discounts
a lot of things just based on that number alone.
Man, you could really just kind of slide under the surface there with 80,000 coworkers. You can totally just like fuck off all day. That is my dream. No one notices me here. This is awesome.
They just vanish into the wall.
Exactly. I think I'll watch TV.
It is crazy when we get the like company emails about, you know, congratulating HBO on all their Emmy wins the night before.
Oh, yeah, like, that's weird.
Or like, congratulations to New Line for their Oscar nomination.
Or like, you know, welcoming New Line to the Warner Brothers family proper when New Line got converted to a WB property and not just company by itself.
That's always surreal.
Do they ever congratulations to Tony Nguyen on his Space Monkeys preview?
Does that ever happen?
I wrote Space Chimps.
Space Chimps, and it was
I didn't win, but like... Yeah,
two errors.
Yeah, there'll be like intercom contests to like win like the Wire box set, which I obviously didn't win, but like win like the Wire paraphernalia, like, you know, t-shirts from the...
Nice.
Shirts and hats from the set and like the entire season, but I enter my name in it. And I'm like, I'm not listing the name of winners, alas. I'm sad. Otherwise, I would be like, congratulations, Terry Wynn of GameTap / Turner San Bruno for winning all this Wire swag.
So do they know who you guys are?
Who's they?
I mean,
Wolf.
I like other people at...
We tried visiting Larry King. He's not...
Yeah.
He's in New York, not in... Like,
Anderson. Wolf.
You're on first name basis with all these guys.
Yeah. Wolf is the default one that we joke about.
Yeah, Wolf or Anderson.
Wolf is
our
default.
Or that's like, oh, Wolf got my paycheck by accident. I got to get it from him.
Yeah.
Or, hey, let's
drop by the Situation Room.
I asked Larry King, hey, are you going to go to expenses? Can you get my expense? Can you get my expense report over, Larry?
Yeah.
I don't like that guy.
No, actually, I watched his recap of the Golden Globes. It's pretty terrible.
Larry King.
Well,
you don't like Larry King?
Larry King.
I can't believe it.
He's like senile. I mean,
that's
the
thing.
Is
like,
crazy.
He sits there with the Golden Globe ceremony. And he's like, why was this movie not. He's watching like the part about like nominated for Best Musical and stuff at Sweeney Todd. And he says, I love There Will Be Blood. Why was this not nominated? It's beyond me.
He is regularly listed. They do this like, this one site says this top 10 movie quote horrors. You know, people who appear in commercials.
He's
regularly in the top 10.
Right, of course.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't think like,
but Turner
moves.
We're all about integrity.
Yeah. I don't think he moves physically.
No, I know.
He's like glued to that desk. You know, his shoulders are always in the same freaking. It just bugs
me. We are going to get the weirdest memo when we get past the office.
Oh, this is probably you're probably breaking some sort of, you know, do not diss the company sort of.
Do not talk about Chad.
Do not talk about Larry.
We have nothing but respect.
Right. Mr. King, listen to
Uncle
GFW
Ted
Radio.
And all of the properties.
Right.
But yeah. It is surreal. Like, you know, with names that, you know, it also helps legitimize my job with my parents that you can be like, well, you know, we're all CNN. They also own CNN.
Oh, yeah. I should say, like, I write for CNN.
And my parents are like, oh.
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
I actually encourage people, like, watch Cartoon Network because that kind of gives you my paycheck somehow.
Right. So do guys like Larry King, are you like on email threads where he's complaining about like mundane office things? Like, how come there's no forks on this
second floor? That's only you who does stuff like that.
Larry. Yeah.
No.
I need green Post-its.
That'd be fantastic.
No.
You wish.
Larry King was bitching about Post-its today at work.
Yeah. No.
The closest is when I worked at GameSpy, I got like there was like some corporate memo from Rupert Murdoch about environmental cups or something like that.
Really?
I shit you not. I swear. It's like, so it's like, we're initializing this new environmental thing, and you have an official mug about it. That's like,
even though
the memo
I don't
says.
Believe in this whole global warming thing.
Right.
And I actually have like a cup of like the new Fox initiative for like environmental change. And it's like, yep, there's my official cup that Rupert Murdoch told me about.
Wow. It's not as cool as my Brodeo cup, though.
No.
I know. No, it's not nearly as cool. No.
So we're like an hour in and have still not talked about anything.
I was going to say, should we care about games or not?
We could, like, take a break and then do that.
We'll take a break, and anyone who might be left listening will come back.
What are you saying? We're boring?
No, I'm not saying you're boring. No.
Uh-huh.
We'll be right back.
And we're back.
Wow.
I can't not do that.
Play you well.
Is everybody done chewing candy? We actually did take a real break, and everybody's eating the asbestos candy, flavored candy.
I was eating some of Ryan's chips, too.
Chomping away here. Though, actually, now that we've all heard off camera how much Ryan weighs, we're actively encouraging to eat more candy. You're a thin fellow.
I am. Yeah.
You're me in my high school youth days.
Yep.
And now I'm the same age. God, that freaks me out. Because Jeff and Ellie used to tell me about, like, that's just a phase. You're young. You'll, like...
That's what people keep telling me.
But it's the kids. You know, it's having the kids. That's, there you go, Scoot.
And then now you I'm just offspring. Like, man, I gained, and, like, I'm like, slower than my first person. You're like, huh? Like, I'm playing TF2, and I'm
wow.
like...
So weight gain has affected your speed in games as well.
Well, no, just age. Oh, jeez. Yeah, my constitution stat went low, and my agility and dexterity went down as well. No, but, yeah, now I'm just like, oh, man, I know what Jeff's talking about. Like, I'm trying to play FPS, and I'm like, what the hell? Like, I can't shoot worth shit now.
Yeah.
I told you. Welcome to my world.
I did see something treadmill. The other day that made me think of you. So I don't know if anyone else watches No Reservations Ever, the Anthony Bourdain show on Travel Channel. But he did a thing where he was going to go back to his restaurant because he doesn't actually cook anymore.
Yeah.
And he was having like the worst time because he couldn't read the tickets anymore.
Geez.
And he was just like, he had to have people start reading them off. And it made me think of you because you're always like,
I had this problem actually playing Metal Gear Solid Twin Snake. What's it called? Twin Snake.
Twin Snakes,
right.
Yeah.
Okay, I've been playing it on the GameCube. I mentioned before Ryan lent me
and
his
you,
copy.
And you told me just a few days ago that you finally got past the first room.
I did. Not only did I beat the first room, I beat Revolver Ocelot. And I beat him fair and square. I did not cheat. But what then happened was I got to the part of the game where there's actually, I guess it's a copy protection thing or whatever, mm-hmm. Where you have to look at the back of the box to input a code. And I literally couldn't see it. I mean, I knew it was there.
Right.
I knew where it was. I could see the screen, and I could not read it at all. So I had to go to GameFAQs.
No, I think that code, I may be wrong, but I think it's 140.81.
It might be. It's definitely 140.
Oh, well, I mean, pretty much all the codes.
Oh, are they all 140?
Aren't most of the codes 140 anyways? But yeah, it's a code. It's a certain codex.
I thought it was 1.5.
Right.
You could be right.
Back in the day, Scoot, you would have known that off the top of your head, too.
Yeah,
the Scoot
Matrix, we used to call him.
My brain
or Encyclopedia Scootopolis.
I wouldn't use Google. I would just say Scooter.
My brain is decayed.
I know.
Yeah, before the internet, there was Scooter. Mm-hmm. It was quite incredible.
It's actually what the internet is based on.
Wikipedia is a direct download from Scooter's head.
Yeah. What's funny is that one of the guys that my husband used to work with is also a total comic book nerd, and he would always hear stories from Brian about you, and he totally wanted to like take you on a trivia challenge because he was like, "Oh, I could totally beat Scooter. Oh, I totally know." And I was like, "No,
probably now."
I was like, "Jerome, there's no way. There's no way." He was just all fired up.
So, Scooter, you have a child now who's how old?
Two.
Two. And has that changed your gaming habits? Or
the other day, she tried to imitate Ninja Gaiden because I was playing Ninja Gaiden. And she grabbed a Wiimote and was swinging it around like a sword to say, "Sha, sha, sha." Then she like grabbed.
That's great.
Then she
figured out it wasn't doing anything.
So
on
then
the
she
screen.
Grabbed a second controller, like sat next to me, and like was pressing buttons. I'm like, "Oh crap, she's aware of what's going on the screen right now." I gotta watch what I watch now.
Yep.
No more RoboCop, Pan's Labyrinth, yeah. Superbad. I watched all of those from earlier. I'm like, uh-oh.
Well, when they're that little, it doesn't matter. Yeah, there is a point where you when they start imitating.
Yeah, what
you.
Is that age?
Fuck.
Like, oh, shit. Uh-oh.
No.
Fuck, Daddy.
Shiri goes, shit. I'm like, yeah. Oh, you don't even say mom or dad, say real sisters, right? But now you say, shit.
That her first
it's
word.
A modern problem.
Yeah. That's heartwarming. Yeah. Yeah, Sarah used to sit on my lap when she was that age when I played, pretty much any sort of game. But there definitely became a point where as her awareness picked up, I let her do it less because I did not want her to.
So what age was like then the cutoff for like, all right. Now it's Sesame Street only. None of this other crap around.
Probably around 2 or so, yeah.
Yeah, right now, I'm like, mm-hmm. Right now, instead of playing games at like a firmware, I'm like, well, I guess I'll leave my noggin for a little while until he's like, fall asleep enough, and then I could go back to like finishing Ninja Gaiden.
And I'll say even to this day, and she is 14, I still will not play super violent things sort of around her or my wife. Just... I just kind of don't.
She's 14. Is she like actually Sweeney hanging around you at all anymore?
Well, yeah, that's the thing.
But
yeah.
Like, also,
please don't come in here. Hi,
don't,
don't wanna. Yeah, don't come
no
in
problem.
Here. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh well.
Games—they affect the mind.
They do. Yeah. So right.
Scientific study. Right.
So
here.
Why don't we do a what you're playing? I'm still playing. Metal Gear Solid. Still liking it.
So how
it.
Far are you in it? Like, well, besides the codex stuff, because that's not required. It has been so long since I've played.
Yeah, I've contacted Meryl, and I'm waiting for her to bust me out of some room now.
Oh,
she's
yeah.
got to open up a gate for me.
Okay.
So that's where I am.
And you're playing the Twin Snakes version?
Yeah, and I've had a few people on my that's blog weird. Say, you're yeah. playing you're playing the wrong one.
Well, because...
And I told them to blame Ryan.
Because it, there's
never
parts
like
of
like a good
one.
Rule of thumb for life, actually.
It kind of is, yeah. I always tell my wife.
Because there's parts of Metal Gear that, like, feel kind of broken because of the way Twin Snakes handles things. So it's just weird.
Like, right, like you said, you beat Revolver Ocelot fair and square, which means you did not go into first-person mode and just unload on
I didn't.
Two
but
seconds.
Other people are telling me that, like, the cutscenes... Like, ruin the mood or ruin the effect.
Like, you know that scene with the ninja?
Almost all cutscenes do.
Yes.
I hate
true.
The one with the ninja after you beat
yeah.
Revolver Ocelot. That's, like, totally, like, stylized. Like, they totally... That was, like, right after The Matrix.
Well,
the guy
who directed the cutscenes for Twin Snakes was a guy who directed one of my favorite bizarre Japanese movies called Versus, which is basically a Japanese samurai zombie movie. And it's totally it's like this weird stylized, like guys chopping zombies in half. And basically the ninja cutscene was literally like one of his scenes from that movie, but like with ninja instead of like the main character from
I
the
see.
Movie.
Kind so of. Do you like the hardcore faithful not... Like that edition? Is that?
I mean, they say it looks.
It's different.
It makes
not.
It more ridiculous than Irei was. Like I think in the new
it's
version, like
ridiculous.
There is parts where the
because the game with the bad guy named Revolver Ocelot.
It's already ridiculous.
It's not ridiculous.
It's already ridiculous when we have the level where like the ninja like jumps and like kicks a missile away and like cuts it in half. So you're like, okay, there's it kind of went beyond the point of like.
I
yeah.
still contend that it gets more ridiculous yeah. than that anyway.
That was always
no, 2 got more ridiculous.
Wait,
2
yeah,
did,
wait,
yes.
You get to
I'm talking about 2 here.
Yeah, 2 gets, is when you get yeah. even weirder. See, in the context of 1, it's like 1 actually was somewhat ground, but now it's like, okay, now Ninja can fucking flip kick missiles. What the hell?
Those were always my favorite things when you would do like a, you know, like when we were doing the Metal Gear Solid 3 cover on OPM and you would do all the backstory stuff, like
oh,
just
God.
Like, just tracing the whole, because mm-hmm. it was just so, I mean, it's like, yeah, it's like soap opera.
2 is so weird.
I tried to.
That's what I like about it, though, is just how absurd it is. I mean, if,
yeah,
it was,
two gets...
if it was played straight, I wouldn't care.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and so much of games out there do take themselves so seriously and play mm-hmm. it so straight. You're like,
right
now 4 yeah. Monkey in the Diaper.
You know what I liked, and maybe this I was going to ask you if this was in a
is that the subtitle?
Nice. Monkey, wow, one of the rejected names. Yeah.
Hasn't been rejected at Game Tap.
One of the cutscenes, or maybe as part of that same long cutscene that I thought was really cool. Was they're talking about like the arms race or nuclear weapons or whatever, and it actually goes into actual
FMV
video
right.
footage.
Like guys marching around,
cool.
like missiles exploding.
Yeah,
that
I like that.
Yeah, because that was pretty big for freaking 98 at the time, man.
So was that in the original game, or was
mm-hmm.
that
some of that,
yeah.
that
wow.
stuff was in
the
original?
That was a really nice touch, yeah. So there's that. So I'm playing that. I played Battle of the Bands for the Wii, so that's up on my reviews, should be up today on 1UP, which I like quite a lot. But I shouldn't say
don't
anything.
Don't talk about it because I actually am still waiting for our review copy to show up so I can
don't
do
taint
the game
her.
Tap review.
I don't want to taint your opinion.
Yeah, don't do that.
Well, I'm playing. I can't really. I probably shouldn't go into detail yet, but I'm playing Wii Fit, which is why you know, as you remarked earlier, my weight.
Right.
At least as far as Wii Fit alleges, I am near 28 years old, 5'5", and Wii Fit says I am 127 pounds. So.
Wow, God.
So, ha ha.
That's such a, that's.
But then
you don't want to hear it.
Are you allowed? You're not allowed to talk about this game. We can't go.
I probably shouldn't.
Yeah. Okay.
No, but
to
follow up, Ryan and I are about the same age. I'm only a little bit taller than he is, and I am nowhere near 127.
Well, yeah, I'm only an inch taller than he is, and I'm much older. But I am a girl, and I am nowhere near what he is.
Right.
Yeah.
127 for a guy is a different thing.
Yeah.
My metabolism. Something inhuman.
Yeah. You're still eating candy.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Damn you.
Someday it may come.
One person who doesn't need Wii Fit.
You were skinny boy. Too.
I was a skinny runt, unlike Ryan.
Really? When I first started seeing you, I was skinny because you and Elliot were like, keep on eating those like triple cheeseburgers because they'll catch up with you one day. Because I was all like, yeah, I burnt through energy. I can like play games and do everything.
You burnt through energy.
I've always
just
had
there.
A slow. I was like, I was a fat kid.
Were you?
In college, I was huge.
Really?
Yeah.
See, you'd never know now.
I was
240.
Wow.
Like really?
College, yeah.
Huh.
And then one day I was just like, no, and then I stopped eating. Right. I went about it the wrong way. I just would have like some rice. That was my daily meal. But
I actually probably have a pretty good metabolism because I do eat quite a lot.
I don't know. One of my coworkers comments on the amount of crappy food I eat sometimes. And it's that I'm not bigger than I am right now, I guess, because I keep... Jared. He's like, you actually eat the Baconator when you go to Wendy's? Like, yeah, whatever.
It's
like,
called the Baconator.
Baconator.
I eat the spicy Baconator. It's like multiple patties, bacon slices, jalapenos.
Oh my God, really?
It's totally is terrible. I don't know why I do it. I just hate myself.
Those are the ones that we look at. Yeah. Who is ordering that?
Yeah, I think you're too old for the Baconator now.
you wonder who it is?
You're like, an age
you know one person.
There is an age
now.
If you are over the age of 20.
Or like the Burger King one where it's like, you don't think three patties are enough? How about eight?
Yeah.
Stack it up.
I mean,
that stuff makes me sick.
Yeah, because In-N-Out, I used not anymore, but In-N-Out, I used to always get like a 3x3, something like a 4x4 In-N-Out. Not anymore, actually.
That's not even on the menu. That's like a special order.
Yeah. We have more stories about CGW people and In-N-Out.
Well,
yeah, one
say,
of our former
I was beaten by,
Johnny Lou ate a what?
An 8x8.
8x8.
8x8?
Yeah, we actually have a photo of it.
I thought it was 16x16.
It was in the magazine.
No.
It was 8x8.
His first appearance in the magazine was like that photo.
It was like
photo.
This, and his mouth was just like,
amazingly, he actually got his mouth around it.
Well, he's also the same person who ate a porterhouse for two.
84 ounce
by himself.
That's true.
And followed it up with dessert.
That was at E3. There was a tradition at CGW that I would take the CGW staff out for a steak dinner at Morton's.
Heck yeah.
No, it was $84
every year.
Okay, I thought it was like
84 ounces? Oh my gosh.
Yeah, no. I think it was like 40.
6 pounds of steak.
8 ounces or so. It was insane.
Right. So once a year at E3, this whole CGW staff and assorted freelancers, if they were available, your Tom Chicks and your who have yous, would all go to this nice steak dinner, and it was expensive.
It was like the only real meal we would eat for the whole week.
It would be
and it was the best. Like, it tasted so good.
Yeah, we'd basically be full for a week.
Yeah, because it was usually like, wasn't it after like most of the E3 crap?
It was like usually like Wednesday night, I think, was the traditional
thing.
Or
it would carry you through.
You would have been eating like either the crummy stuff at the convention center
or
like things on sticks at parties.
Right, weenies on sticks.
Yeah.
So we'd have the steak dinner, and Johnny Liu, our editor, who would eat 8x8s. I guess I was at the other end of the table, but I guess at his end of the table, he was sort of saying like, I could eat a double porterhouse by myself, and someone else said, yeah, I dare you to order it, and he did, which not only was gross because this, I mean it said on the menu 4-2. Yeah, but also it was like a shitload of money. That I was paying for.
Yeah.
Well, Ziff was paying for it.
Yeah.
Then I fired.
That's why.
Yeah.
For the porterhouse incident.
Yeah. I never forgave him.
Yeah. Porterhouse for two.
Yeah. Sean, what are you playing these days?
I've been catching up on Sam and Max. Which, on GameTap exclusive.
Exclusively on GameTap. Which, how convenient.
Yeah. Hey, that's not anymore, is it?
No, it's on Steam now.
Well, they do
also.
It on, yeah, Steam. And then
this
we
season,
have a,
I think, is exclusive on GameTap.
Yeah, or, no, it appears there
we
have first.
A, yeah, we get it first.
Yeah,
it shows
that's
up
exclusive.
First.
Actually,
yeah.
It's because of this season I actually decided to finally download it because the only Sandbox game I played was the original LucasArts one. I'm
really?
Like, oh, I should play like this because what there's with this final season there's like what like 10, 8 or 10 episodes worth.
Five.
There's a total of 11. Yeah.
So there's six from season one.
So there's 11 episodes worth of stuff for me. Like, hey,
that's a lot to catch up on.
Yeah. Well, aren't they like an hour each or something like that? Or?
They're like 2 to 3.
Okay.
Yeah. 3 is about.
You are the
right.
PC editor, so yeah, maybe it would be good to
the PC editor
out.
And a game that's on your site. Way to be informed.
Damn good.
Exactly.
Yep.
I haven't done the fifth one of season two yet. I just finished the fourth one, Chariots of the Dogs.
Nice.
Yes.
We were just actually talking about the conundrum of how to keep reviewing these Sam and Max
it's
episodes.
It's a tough thing to do.
This one in particular is the fourth one I have reviewed for GFW and or 1UP.
Yeah.
Which means, okay, I've kind of just randomly done a few of them. I did like number 4 and number 5 from season 1 and like number 2 right. from season 2. So you have the problem of like if you go onto a 1UP like and you just want
right.
to get a snapshot of the whole season, like you're going to be reading other people's opinions and they might think that this one had the best puzzles or
right.
this one was the funniest. So like when you make statements like that, it's just, well, you know, I think it, but then the guy who said that about the last episode too, so
well,
plus they really do build on themselves and I think in my review, which I submitted to Ryan, I kind of I think it's dawning on me that reviewing one of these is almost like reviewing a level of a game.
Yeah.
Just like if I was just reviewing like the Water Temple in Zelda and then putting a score on the Water Temple and then
what would you give the Water Temple in Zelda?
Which Zelda?
Yeah, which one?
You know which one.
Oh, in Ocarina of Time.
Yeah.
That one I would give an A+. I think it is one of the finest levels of all time. Despite what other people think.
Freaking Water Temple fanboy.
The Twilight Princess one is like a B+.
B+, yeah. That's the one that involved like the weights and crap, right?
Yeah, and there's like all those sloping like...
Oh yeah, they like slide around
yeah.
and all that.
Yeah. That one's okay. That's pretty good. You okay, Jeff?
Sorry, I was dying off mic.
So yeah, I mean, this fourth one of season two is actually, I think, the best one that I've played. But again, it's like in context of what it's this one especially builds so much on everything that came before. It involves like time travel and you're like visiting scenes from season one. And
so it's like Lost.
It's very much like Lost. Yes.
Oh, I was going to say
you're finding your constant.
Future, but...
Okay.
No. Well, yeah. Maybe more like Back to the Future. But yeah, it involves, you know, jokes built on jokes built on jokes that have been accumulating for 9 episodes. So like as a standalone thing, it's like. Really hard
well,
to
you can't it. Really I mean it's a point and click adventure game so there's mm-hmm. not really anything to talk about mechanics wise so
yeah,
it's like
you're done with
all
that
you're
after
talking
the first
about
one.
Is the plot and that's the fun part to discover
and like, you don't want to spoil
yeah.
it you like I could sit here and just say here's a funny puzzle and then here's a funny scene but you don't want to do that because
yeah I did a preview
to...
of the first episode of season 2 and like we actually got comments from readers saying I'm not going to read it because I don't want you to wreck anything for me
yeah
and it's like yeah,
so maybe maybe the answer is not to review every individual episode.
Just review the season as a whole when it comes out as a
except
group.
Then,
right, but I don't know. Then you do see sites, you know,
yeah,
where they're reviewing an episode of Lost, and it's okay.
Yeah, right? I find that weird. I find that weird.
But you're like you read it because you're into it, like you already know that like.
Eh.
You know, yeah, maybe you don't read it.
I look on Lostpedia. That's it.
I don't know what to do.
It works. I think I'm at my limit personally for reviewing these things, though.
So when the next episode comes
that.
Out,
yeah,
you're not going to want
to
review.
I passed them off to Doug just because I'm like, I can't, like, I physically can't think of other ways to talk about this stuff.
See,
like, I enjoy them. I think they're very good games, and I think they definitely fill this void that isn't there. But yeah, I'm like, I can't figure out how to write about this without
keep saying the same
ruining
thing over
it.
And over again.
In my fourth review here, I have like just broken the fourth wall and just started talking about the process of reviewing these things because there's really nothing else to talk about.
Yeah,
just you know, like, well, here's tough. How episodic gaming. And even like, you know, you made your sweeping statements about episodic gaming already. You've made, you know,
just be like Valve and take forever to make one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, those are different. I mean,
it is pretty
amazing that
Telltale really truly has followed through in a big way on this. Like the only ones who have really.
No, it's a total success. A total success, I think.
I was waiting for them to pick up Bowen again.
Bone. Yeah, Bone. That kind of died
they got
after.
That Strong Bad game.
I know. They're doing they're doing Strong Bad now.
For the WiiWare.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And it's coming out on PC as well.
Too. I think it's WiiWare first, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
But did Bone just die?
I think so.
Oh, I heard. I read some rumor that Bone was like kind of in limbo because of like the movie. Like, that they're, I guess they're waiting for like the actual animation to start or
Bone
something
movie
like
coming?
That. There's supposed to be, it got optioned a while ago, and there's supposed to be some kind of movement that once that movement was started, then they'll pick up on the game again or something like that.
Hmm. One of my all-time favorite comics. People always ask us for comic recommendations. Bone would be one.
That, Jeff Smith's Bone.
They have like a big like one-volume version.
Yeah,
it's very thin paper.
Yeah,
it's very thin paper that fits all of that.
Yeah. Great story that holds up all the way through.
Are there comic recommendations?
Let's go
down
that road.
I talk about what I was playing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, we're going. You were next.
Switching
I was
segments
at you.
Too quickly.
Yeah, I know.
What are you playing, Dana?
Well, I've just finished reviewing the Wii version of Okami, which I was a very big fan of that game on PS2.
Yeah, I remember.
Like it on Wii as well. Although
which
the graphics
better?
Are not. Well, okay. Here's the big pro and the big con with the other one. So it depends on what bugs you the most. The Wii version does not look as good graphically.
Okay.
However, the PS2, there's a lot of really, really long.
That really is sad.
Yeah. A lot of really, and I ran them on the exact same TV side by side, so like it wasn't just the objective. Like I used John's big ass TV and mine, and PS2 version looks better. However, the PS2 version has lengthy cutscenes that you cannot skip. And the Wii version, you can skip.
Okay.
And you can speed up dialogue.
Oh, okay. So I have the PS2 version. I have started the PS2 version. I'm not finished with the PS2 version. The Wii one, I kind of stopped when I heard about the Wii one. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going to play this. I'm going to get the Wii one. Worth it for someone who already has the PS2 version.
How far are
not
you?
Not very. And I would probably start over anyway if I were to pick up the PS2 one again. Even though there is that 20-minute cutscene at the beginning.
Right. Well, you can skip past that with the Wii version.
Okay. How's the painting work with the Wiimote?
You know, it's actually... It took a little bit longer to get used to just because, like, with the PS2, since you're using the analog stick, like, you have this automatic guide, you know, a limit. And, like, you're with the Wii, you're completely freeform. So, you know, it's like, much easier to screw stuff up. Okay. It took a little longer to get used to it. Which one would I play it on? I don't know. I would do Wii just because I can't stand really long cutscenes, and I hate dialogue that, like, I'm a fast reader, and so when the dialogue is just trickling across and I can't speed it up, it drives me nuts. So I would do the Wii version just because I'm very impatient.
Okay. I think that game also, if I remember at the beginning at least, has a lot of dialogue that exists that is just ... for a page.
Yeah, there's a lot
really?
Of that stuff.
Really? ...
Yeah.
Oh, you made me read that?
Oh, Google 13, what have you watched?
I gave it a 9 in OPM on the PS2 version, and I also gave the Wii version a 9 on GameTap, so... Yeah. What else?
Oh, personal
I'm
pile
still,
of shame.
I'm still slogging through Puzzle Quest on my DS just because... You know, I like matching three things together.
In a role-playing environment.
But Ryan says it's a role-playing game.
Well, it is. It is that, too. But I, you know.
I heard it described as, it's bejeweled with a mount.
Yeah.
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 I've heard many
times. Yeah, the mount aspect is kind of useless for it. It gives you, like,
stat,
one spell
right?
or a stat or something.
Yeah, but yeah, that's the best way. Someone said, it's Bejeweled, but you get mounts in it. It's like, what?
I mean, like, it's definitely drags, but, you know, I've been, like, kind of leaving it and coming back to it, and it's just something that doesn't require a lot of thought, so.
I thought Puzzle Quest was awesome.
I mean, I like it.
You're
doing
Ryan.
A sequel.
I know, I don't like, actually, the look of the sequel. Have you seen it?
The Galactic one?
So it's, like, hexagon-sided now, the board is, and... It whichever way you drag the gem, that's the way that the gems fall. Like if you're in space, because it's like you're in space, so there's no gravity.
Like the effect of inertia.
So you have to like be paying attention to which way you're dragging the gem too, because that'll affect the board. And
oh, they may have just overcomplicated this.
I know. I'm like, oh, that's
you don't fuck with success.
Yeah. Well,
did Bejeweled
maybe
two do anything wacky? No.
No. No. It went to semi 3D graphics.
Right.
Those gems were like popping out of my screen.
We joked that if GFW magazine had continued, we were going to do a Bejeweled 3 cover.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
At the very least, Peggle 2.
Peggle Knights.
Oh, Peggle 2, Peggle Knights.
That
would have been a great cover.
When the real sequel comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah. We could have just put that chipmunk on the cover, maybe the unicorn. He's back.
Bjorn.
The chipmunk.
His name is Bjorn.
The evil chipmunk?
No, not the chipmunk from the video.
Oh, yeah, not the internet chipmunk.
Oh, God.
That thing.
That's Dana's favorite.
Yeah. I know, Ryan. Ryan will randomly just aim me that link, like, out of the blue every month or so.
He's gonna,
just to
Dana might be the one person on the internet. In this geek community who has never laughed at that.
No.
You have never laughed at the squirrel.
The chipmunk, sorry.
It's
explain how it's not funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do not
explain to the demanding public here.
They have a right to know.
How dare you say that's not funny?
I like all the other stuff. Like the Menergy thing.
That's
I loved the Menergy drink.
Are you playing anything else? Are you playing anything on the PC? Remember that? CTW?
I have not had anyone to fund my upgrade of a PC. So other than WoW on my MacBook, no. And I haven't played WoW in a long time either. I want to get back in.
I need to get back into that.
Yeah. We were talking about that today. Killing time at work because we're both like at this kind of lull. Well, I mean, I have previews that I need to write, but they're not due till Friday, so you know, I have time to procrastinate.
Excellent.
And yeah,
join me on the Proudmoore server.
I was
here's the thing, like I hate pickup groups in general. So every time I get a character up to like the mid 40s, where it's like it really helps to have like groups of instant like Scarlet Monastery, and you know, doing. I just hate running Armory or Cathedral with dingbats who like roll like
you need human beings you like
on Heron's like helmet. I'm like, dude, you're a priest.
Yeah,
I'm a
I think
warrior.
There are like three of those in the
it
world.
Is, well, yeah, I mean, or at least can tolerate and talk to Trillo.
Wow.
When well, you say you're
come
a proud
to
war,
our
maybe
guild.
You'll finally roll a new proud war character. Just like say like at least I'll like it's, look for someone.
That game is so different when you're playing with people
that you like.
When you have five friends in an instance, I still say it is like the best.
Yeah, when I was still on Ziff and we had the Club Sandwich Guild, that was like the best time I had. Wow, because like me and Skip.
Short-lived Club Sandwich.
Running through stupid dungeons.
Worcester
and, like,
is still sitting on a server there waiting for me to come
Garnish.
Back and play her.
I still have Neiman Ranch.
Right?
Yeah. my Tauren Warrior.
Yeah.
I believe it's actually pronounced Nyman. I always used to call it Neiman, but
really?
It's actually Nyman.
Nyman? I always thought Nyman also.
Huh. But, looks like Neiman.
Conch?
Yeah. I object.
Conch? But yeah.
I just make it up, yeah.
Yeah, me and Skip were sitting around like, what should call our guild? I'm like, just call that Club Sandwich, because it's
that
like
was the first 1UP guild before 1UP, before Can't
like
Quit
You. I joined Can't Quit You briefly, but I just didn't play enough to like really be part of the Can't Quit You culture.
Yeah, I have a character on Can't Quit You, and it's been so long. Does
that
guild
Puke.
Still even exist? Puke.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right,
exists.
That was the counterpart to Vomit.
They've kind of become their own thing without any of
any 1UPers.
You still are in it, right?
Yes, except any Can't Quitters, Can't Quit Youers who are listening now know that I have not logged in about 6 weeks. The flu derailed me from WoW.
So, Vomit. Did you move Sherbert over there, too? Sherbert? No.
No, Egbert is
Egbert, I mean. Oh, that's right. Oh, Sherbert was... Oh, that was another
Sherbert's
character.
A different character.
Yeah. I actually wonder if my gnome named Pedo is still on.
Pedo?
I found like this gross looking face and facial hair combination that makes it look like he's constantly leering at things. I just named it that and see if I can get away with it. I actually had him do a / follow all at the kids running around Stormwind. And like people actually comment.
That's great,
that.
Scooter.
Wow.
You have a daughter.
I was going to say you're a dad.
Well, I just waited to see if they change it. They actually remind me. I actually
sees.
Weren't you, Scooter?
Pedo. That's real nice.
Weren't you playing WoW on like your wedding day or something?
God,
yeah, because that was during Club Sandwich
days. No. Wedding was on Saturday. I leave Sunday like afternoon / evening. So yes, Sunday morning while I was packing, I had some spare time. I played some WoW, and then we left for Mexico.
Because
we
looked and
this
we saw
in the Club Sandwich days.
Because we saw that Scooter had logged, and we had been at his wedding.
Right,
the night
I think
before.
Skip actually set the guild message that said, "Scooter, get the hell off the computer and enjoy your honeymoon."
But the big thing that got me out WoW was like, having Alana was like, I just couldn't sleep. I'm like, I was like, I would play and be like, gotta go, and like be in the middle of like running, you know, Armory, and be like, gotta go, and then I got trained by all these like, you know, mobs and stuff like that. So I just stopped playing it. I just haven't really picked it up since. But
kids are quite a nuisance that way.
Now I think I could finally get back into it.
I'm waiting for Lich King. Actually, when we go see Lich King, a few of us are going to go in a couple weeks for a press event, and I think that press events always sort of reignite my.
Because of like the way like some other like Brad Shoemaker from GameSpot was talking about it, the way Sean Elliott still talks about it, and because
he's not from GameSpot anymore.
That's why I said formerly.
Oh, formerly. Oh, I didn't hear the formerly. Because I was crunching on my camera. Sorry.
Yeah.
And because of the Dawn of War 2 announcement, I've been playing both like a lot of Dawn of War and Come to Heroes lately, trying to like say, all right, if I combine these two experiences into one, that's like what Dawn of War 2 is going to be like.
Kind of predict the future.
Very clever.
That's just what I do on my desk. That or like lose terribly at TF2. Like, I'm a sniper. I'm trying to hit you at close range with a knife instead of using my rifle. Oops.
I've been thinking about getting back into that, but that's kind of
TF2.
Yeah,
yeah.
What's scaring me is like, okay.
Well, after the announcement with all the
that's what got me back into it. Actually, is because I went to the Valve event where I played Gold Rush, and I was like, holy crap, this is a great map. I really need to get back to TF2, and oh wow, I forgot I suck at this game.
Yeah, I'm afraid that I will just be so left in the dust by the time I log in again.
Yeah, it's still not quite as bad as like Counter Strike, though.
Yeah, I'm
it's
sure
still
it's not,
small enough that you can. You can survive.
And there are classes that, like, you know, exist kind of outside of
the support classes.
I think I'm just too old to like online games. I'm just like all you young punks who have time to just sit on, the kids. Oh, the internet kids.
It's mostly the people.
Yeah.
Right. See, I don't discriminate by age.
I like MMOs other than all the other humans who are playing in the game with me.
You need people you like.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Exactly.
I would not be playing WoW if all I was doing is pickup groups or like
that. That's what.
Well, you do get to the point like what's like Scooter was saying, where you're in your 40s, where you really have no choice but to group.
And I'm like, I hate you all. That's it. I'm gonna like make an alt and roll somewhere and start again.
Get to
mid 40s. I'm like, you know what? Screw this.
You never grouped.
You can.
I never entered an instance except for like the first Grimoire one.
With the 2.3 changes, I think it was 2.3. Whenever they dropped
the leveling tune, yeah,
you can solo the whole thing so easily because they got rid of a lot of quests that were elite. They made them non-elite. Like,
so, is that right?
Can you solo all the way to 60 at least, you think?
Oh, yeah, easily.
Okay, maybe I'll find
you. You also have the benefit of having someone else in your house who will play.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
See, I
have a constant team.
I live with a cheapskate who just would not want to pay for two accounts. I think he would like it. And he's looked at it and he was like, oh, yeah, that looks like it would be fun, but I am not.
Because he is kind of a gamer, right?
Well, he's weird because he's like way behind. It's funny because he works like in an office with people who, like, there was this guy who just got a PS3 and thinks it's fascinating that I work in the end, you know. Mm-hmm. He's just like always asking Brian about these games. And Brian's like, I don't know. And I'll bring stuff home for Brian all the time. And then he won't look at it for like a year or 2 years. Like, he totally jumped on the Morrowind bandwagon, or Oblivion bandwagon.
Like, say Morrowind.
Yeah, sorry.
There was
Oblivion bandwagon, like a year after I brought it home, and he was like, "This game's awesome!" And then he was playing it nonstop. But it's like,
last game I talked to him about was Bard's Tale. So,
yeah,
but what?
The last game I talked to him about was Bard's Tale. So I was like,
"Well, when
they did the PC version
of the first three,
yeah, okay."
Well, the PC, because the PC version like had the first three on it, and those were like, he played those when he was growing up, and it was just like, these games were so awesome. Yeah. So he like installed the first one and was like it just like brought it up to show me, and then he was like, oh, he was like, no, but two, like the graphics were so much better.
And then we were like, why don't you try some new games?
He was very disappointed, like every time that he would bring up these games that had the best graphics ever, and then
we all go through that.
They didn't so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't like what I liked?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going through that with Fallout. It's like, I remember how great these looked to me, and they look pretty crappy now.
Yeah.
Little isometric dudes running around, punching rats in the groin.
Yeah.
Yep.
Gameplay is semi-timeless, but the graphics are not.
Yeah, no. Right.
Yeah, Tom Chick and I talk about, like, trying to go back to Deus Ex 1. Oh, man. He said, like, right now, with today's technology versus back then, it's like, you got to really love that game.
In some ways, it's even worse with those, like, early generation 3D games.
Going back
to a sprite game. True.
Actually, for the heck of it, like, recently I was actually loaded up Doom 3 just to see what it looks like, just see what it is like now. I was like, oh yeah, Monster Claws is still, but it is funny to see it like running on like a Mario system, which is much faster than what they had back then. I was like, Doom 3 running really smoothly, and this straight up Monster Claws.
Look good though?
Actually looks pretty decent. I mean,
I would
even though the models are, even though characters aren't quite as detailed as nowadays are, but the general look, like, yeah, it is still overall like lots of hallways and textures and stuff, and there'll be a bald guy where even though he's bald, has no hair, he still has weird points on his head because they don't have quite enough polys to like make his head round, but still it actually still kind of holds up much better than like other games like Deus Ex and other games like
Doom 3 is not that old.
Well, there's certain games like Zelda, The Wind Waker.
The Wind Waker?
That totally still.
Well, yeah, that's up. That. Right. They kind of transcended
that's it's
technology
so, yeah, so
with their art style.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it's all about. You're trying to shoot for the realism bar, and that's where you start like falling victim to
the time
is not your friend at all.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's where something like WoW is so smart, or TF2 too. TF2. Right. I mean, that's still gonna look good, I'm sure.
Right. It's the art direction over technology thing. Right.
I mean, like even I didn't think the Meet the Scout was as funny as it was. Just the animation, art direction just keeps it through. It keeps it amusing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I reinstalled EverQuest 1, not that long ago, relatively, like within the last year, oh my God. Yeah,
even with like updated graphics since
the launch. With the updated graphics. But what I remember was at that time when I was really hooked into it, like it was such a realistic world I was inhabiting, I thought. You know, and now I look at it.
I think your imagination was a little sharper. Yeah. But that was required.
Right.
Even Dawn of War, you're only in 04. Man, that game was looking old. It's like, your orcs look all like these little triangular jaws because they like, we can't have polys that have like a square jaw. It got to be a triangular jaw. Your space marines are like these weird squat dude. They look fat, not like badass. And
StarCraft 2, I've been having that trouble with. And the fact that you can't zoom.
StarCraft 2?
StarCraft 1, sorry.
I was going to say.
I'm so done with StarCraft 2. I'm on 3 now. Yeah. Well, you wait for 2. No, StarCraft 1, very old looking, but boy, does that gameplay hold up.
Yeah.
Boy, howdy does it.
Yippee!
So I'll mention one other game that I just blogged about that I want to alert listeners to if they haven't yet. Trackmania. I think this is Trackmania Nations Forever.
Something
or United Forever. I apologize if I got
Trackmania
the name
wrong. Nations United Forever Extreme. I don't know. Call it that.
Right.
The new one.
The
Steam.
New Trackmania, which you can get on Steam, or I think you could just go to actually trackmania.com. This is a very popular arcade racing franchise. It's been more popular in Europe than in here, but it has quite a big following. It always has, both for its arcade racing and its track building.
So it's arcade racing, right? It's not like you don't have to worry about gear ratios and all that
crap. It is a total arcade racer. It primarily uses the keyboard. That's what it defaults to, not even the mouse. I guess you could plug in a gamepad, but I read on one forum that the developers themselves just use the keyboard. That's what I've been playing with. So requires no sort of knowledge of how, you know, cars or engines work
or
physics. I mean, it does help to know how to, like, you know, go through the apex of a turn and that kind of stuff. I mean, those skills will help you a little bit, but really when you're talking about using the arrow keys, you're not talking about a whole lot of finesse.
Yeah.
So, this entire game is online for free right now, and it's really great. And for free, it's probably like the best download I've done in forever. There is a lot that you can do for free. There's all different levels of difficulty. Each level has maybe 20 races that unlock as you go on and beat them. Most of them are incredibly short, you know, a minute or two, and sometimes they're like 12 seconds because the whole thing is just basically like a stunt and you have to, you know, jump through whatever hoops. The graphics are really quite brilliant. They're cartoony and it's 3D, but they've got a good sort of arcade cartoon shine to them.
So you get more if you pay? Like, are there more features that...
I believe. I don't want to misspeak because I didn't spend enough time on the site, but I believe that there is stuff that you can pay for. I believe that some of the online competition is something that you pay for. I might be wrong, and I apologize. They also did release a pay version. It was like a $40 game on Steam as well. But just to even the taste that they provide in the free game is so – there's so much there. There, you know, there's so much to do that it'll keep you busy for a long time. So if you ever wondered about Trackmania or if you just want a cool free arcade racer, I highly recommend it.
Intriguing.
It's good shit.
Trackmania.
That's my tip of the week. Brought to you by... All right, I'm done.
Thank you. I was wondering how long the look would take. Yeah, to like...
Brought to you by Yorkie Bars. It's not for girls.
Jeff Green pro tip.
All right.
Scooter?
At work, since there's been downtime in playing either TF2 or Company Heroes. At home, I play a lot of Rock Band.
Rock Band.
Ah, yes.
Boston is the best downloadable content in any game ever.
Wow.
The Boston Mega Pack.
The Boston Pack is good.
More Than a Feeling is now literally the greatest single experience in gaming history I've done in a long time. Until
well, it helps that your daughter can participate.
Does Boston need a Mega Pack, or did
no,
you
they
just need
not.
Just...
you really just need more than a feeling. Feeling. More yeah. than... It's like...
That
more,
was in Guitar Hero 2? 1?
Well, the, Guitar Hero 1. And that basically, when Rock Band finally got more than a feeling, I'm like, okay, I really don't need my copy of Guitar Hero 1 anymore. There's no reason for me to ever put it in my PS2.
That one is really fun to play.
But see, I view the Boston Mega Pack as like more than a feeling with some pretty cool bonuses on top of it. Yeah, if you really are stingy with your Microsoft points, your PlayStation Network dollars, whatever, get more than a feeling only, or just spring for the whole thing. My favorite DLC.
What other fantastic tunes do you... never mind.
It's basically the first Boston EP, pretty much except for one song, because I guess
it's still alive because it was free. There you go.
Yep.
Okay.
Portal 1.
So when you're playing Rock Band, what instrument are you playing?
I've been bouncing. I play everything except singing. My wife does singing, and my kid does singing and drums, kind of.
That's pretty cute.
She grabs them, I goes, ah! So I have to put the game on easy and, like, bail her out a bunch of times and hope it's a short song so that we don't, like, completely fail when she's actually playing.
We were actually at a wedding this weekend that had Rock Band at the wedding, and your daughter was, like, kept looking over, like...
She kept on trying to...
When is it my turn?
In fact, that was the wedding of Karen Chu of Legendary Thread.
It was. And they actually had Still Alive as one of the processionals.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. A guitar erasure Still Alive as she walked down the
nice.
Aisle.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. True gamer wedding.
It is. It was. Is and was.
Yeah, like, yeah, for Rock Band for my kid, like, I just make sure the drums aren't actually plugged in and just let her bang away, and she's...
Has she figured out that they're not plugged in yet?
Not quite, but she's figured out enough that she gets mad that I don't have the bass pedal plugged in if it's not
they're
plugged in.
They're pretty savvy, yeah.
But somewhere she's like, she like points at the bass pedal and yells at me to like bring it down and plug it in, and it looks like it kind of works and just bang on.
We actually used to do that with Ryan and his magazine articles. His computer wasn't hooked up to the network. Yeah, just keep working on that article. We're gonna print that.
That explains a lot.
I'm sorry.
It's also clear now.
You would think that was the case with you, too.
What?
Given how long some of yours took to actually come to fruition.
I was polishing fine gems.
Oh, is that
indeed?
yeah,
left myself open there.
I've been there, Jeff.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. How are we doing on time here?
We should probably wrap.
Hey, wait! I have a question for everybody before.
Sure, Ryan Scott.
So
Lost this
you
week.
Guys all caught up on Lost?
I am. Yeah. Totally. Yeah.
Oh, it's coming back, isn't it?
It's this week.
This week.
Is it this week?
It's this week. I saw a teaser.
For some reason.
No, it's this week.
It's Thursday
I'm very
now,
excited.
Right? Thursday at
Thursday.
10.
Thursday at 10.
Wait, where had we left off?
The Shape of Things to Come. That's right. That's what the episode
the,
called, right?
The
okay. Oh, this, what's her face it? Got shot. Right?
And then the the other guy just got outed as a traitor. Michael just got outed as a traitor.
Yep.
Right. Okay.
Saeed brought him in.
By Saeed.
Yeah.
Which shows the creators that you shouldn't put the actor's name in the credits. You waited to reveal
I know for
him
the whole
until, like,
season.
Episode 8.
Right.
He's a good agent.
I'm like,
SAG rules or whatever.
Yeah. I'm like, wait a minute, why is his name here? Oh, he must be the dude in the boat.
Yeah.
That was the least surprising surprise.
Yeah, that was not a
surprise. Well, they had confirmed he was coming back, all these like news stories and press releases and stuff before the season.
And then he was
started.
In the credits, and then, yeah.
But they could have pulled a Libby or whatever where you just see her for a second in a dream.
Right.
The next episode is a Ben
flash
forward.
So this is a Ben one.
A Ben flash forward.
Yeah.
Mm, awesome.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm very excited. Well, we used to, on OPM, we always used to talk about Lost, too.
And how much Giancarlo hated it.
Yeah, Giancarlo would be on ups and downs. Well, he went
Is he back on the bandwagon now?
I think so.
Actually, at the Midway event, Chick and I had a Lost discussion. Like, Lost has shown that he actually hates the content, but he thinks everything else about it is so great that he watches it.
What do you mean he hates the content?
He thinks the writing is terrible. And that
he always bags on it on Quarter to Three.
That's what
and yet he watches it.
He watches it because of like the production design and the actors and stuff. But his question to me at the time was,
I watch it for the production design.
Well, I only watch PBS.
Tom.
I don't watch television.
Sorry, Tom. We're just kidding. Yeah.
So yeah, his question was like,
Tom, very nice person. I'm totally.
His question was best actor on Lost and worst actor on Lost.
Best actor on Lost and worst actor on Lost.
We had the common best and like our worst kind of differed.
Kate and Jack. hate them.
Wait, the characters or the actors?
Oh, I hate the characters. Who's the worst actor? Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, I can't do the obvious Nikki and Paolo. You're talking like basic, normal.
Talking regulars here.
Yeah.
Are we talking characters or actors? You're asking us about the acting.
He said acting, and I think we start the acting.
Ben is awesome. Ben's my favorite.
Yeah, his hate was Kate.
He also Ben graduated from my alma mater.
Really?
Drake University in Iowa. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, this side of the room and Chica were saying Ben.
Yep. Oh, we're definitely looking at Greg Ford.
We got Sports Anomaly hanging out there.
I couldn't fucking tell if he's just anomaly. Annoyed. Are you going to. Don't do that again.
They're the new Retronauts.
So Ben, I think, is the best. Emily DeRavine, she's kind of weak as an actress.
Wait, who's that?
Claire.
Well, she doesn't get much to do.
No, she doesn't get much to do. But I hate the way she says bye-bye.
My baby.
Excuse her for being Australian.
It's horrible.
Dingo ate my baby.
Yeah, it's bye-bye. Yeah, the way she says it. But as characters, I hate Kate and Jack. Kate is the wussiest con ever, crying all the time.
My two, which is similar, like, Chick and I both said, like, Ben is obviously best actor. And his worst actor was the woman playing Kate, Evangeline Lilly, because there's a lot of stuff going on with her character in general, but that she doesn't pull off at all. While the opposite, Ben does a great job with every material he's given with. Like, the
he's amazing.
Great job. My worst was saying Matthew Fox for Jack, because it is so played up to his typecast world that he has no range beyond, like, somewhat charismatic leader.
So
like, even when you watch him in Smoking Aces, where he's not the main character, you go, like, you feel weird because he's like, I can't play a person as a peon. I have to play, like, the somewhat charismatic, charming hero
noble
guy. I was the oldest brother in Party of Five. I got to be the leading guy in Lost.
Yeah.
And, like,
yeah. I didn't believe his down-and-out beard phase either.
Yeah, no.
You know? It looked like Tom Hanks' castaway beard. Yeah. Like, pull that fucking thing off.
So I was like, every time, like, that they're in a dangerous situation and you know, like, they've told you a character's gonna die, I keep hoping that it's gonna be Kate or Jack. I'm like, please.
They can't do that.
Yeah,
why not? They could.
They can't kill those two or Sawyer. They're
script immunity right now.
They used to
because they're in the future.
Abrams used to advertise things about how, like, they would fuck with the audience by saying, like, yeah, we'll introduce a red shirt and Locke will go walking on the island in an episode and Locke will get killed and the red shirt will become the new main character. Huh. They used to actually say, like, that's how we'll fuck with your expectation, but they didn't quite.
The actor who plays Sawyer has grown on me over the seasons.
Oh, I like Sawyer.
I thought he was too over the top at the beginning, but now I actually like him a lot.
Josh Holloway.
Well, when we watch him talk about other things, when he's not Sawyer, he's like, oh, that guy's actually not a conniving asshole all the time.
He does have it in his contract, though, that his shirt has to be off for a certain amount of minutes every episode.
Were you just going to ask if we were all caught up, or did you have
I just wanted to bring up Lost.
So who's your best and worst actors?
And then we'll sign off.
Ben, of course. I also, maybe it's just because I like the character so much, but Desmond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what?
I'm a big
Desmond in the Hitman movie freaked me out because I would see the actor in the Hitman and be like, you're not calling everyone brother. You're not talking about the concept. What the hell are you doing in this movie? Instead, he plays like a Russian arms dealer, and it totally took me out of the Hitman experience, which wasn't that much to begin
with. Why aren't you on the island?
Sorry, it freaked me out.
And then, like, and Juliet.
I like Juliet a lot.
I like her.
As a character more than an actress, though.
Well, she had a couple lame flashbacks.
I also nominated the guy playing
This season.
Michael,
her flashback was kind of
awesome flashback.
The guy playing Michael. He was awesome on Oz.
Because I said, despite his great work in other things and Lost, all he does is yell, Walt!
Yeah.
Where's my boy? Where's my boy? Walt!
My boy. Yeah, that's a writing problem more than an acting problem.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. His episode depressed me so much. I was so depressed after watching that episode. It was just so sad.
It was a very sad episode.
It was
episode,
really depressing.
Yeah.
All right,
we got to wrap it up for the Sports Anomaly kids.
Oh, Sports Anomaly.
That was it was wonderful to have you folks here.
Thanks for inviting us.
Trip down memory lane. Sean Elliott will be back with Hans next week, we think. Unless they're off somewhere else. Who knows? Or he's sick again. Whatever next week's excuse is. I'm just kidding. Love you, Sean. Come back. Please. All right. We'll be back next week.